Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne. I'm a comedian and I'm a writer. I am one half of the Scummy Mummies. I have double chins, but I am double the fun. I am absolutely bloody fucking delighted. I have two legends joining me on the podcast today. It is, of course, Deborah James and Lauren Mann.
Yay!
Did you hear the hesitation in my voice?
The high voice, is that a question? Is that
Mahan?
You got it bang on,
okay,
babe.
And I'm going to do AKA Bowel Babe, AKA Girl versus Cancer,
yeah.
AKA You, Me and the Big C, award-winning podcasters.
Yeah, that's us. We haven't done too badly, have we, mate?
Oh, my God. They're really flogging their disease. I love it.
Milking it dry.
Milking the cancer.
The cancer card, playing it every day.
One of you's had breast cancer, yeah. And one of you has had... How do you say that? You are having...
I'm having the shit cancer.
She's having the poo cancer.
I've got the poo cancer. All cancers are shit, but yeah. I'm famous for my ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I was famous for my ass before I got cancer. That's because I got it out too often.
I like to start the podcast with asking you both, our guests, what's your relationship like with your body today? How are you feeling?
Today, my body feels a bit knackered because I went on a run, because I'm just going to be really honest with you. So I'm still on treatment. Mm-hmm. And what happens to me is that alongside my treatment, because anyone that follows me will know that I've had some really hideous side effects. I basically spent the whole of Christmas passed out. And
not like the rest of us, because we had too many Baileys. Yeah, no, because you were sick.
No, because I was sick for once.
Yours was drugs and not the good kind.
Yeah, not the good kind. So to counteract, to try to kind of make me tolerate these drugs, I actually have to take loads of steroids. And I don't, I kind of have this 3-day period every 2 weeks where I start to climb the wall. And I now understand how I get so much done, because I run at about 300 miles an hour. And you guys see all these emails just like conking out, just going at 3 o'clock in the morning, me writing a list of 100 topics that we could cover in a podcast.
Honestly, I know when Deb's on the steroids, because it is these manic messages, and I'm like, I can just hear you typing it. I'm like, that's crazy.
And another thing, one more. Yeah.
But the problem is, in terms of my body, how that relates to my body is because I've got all this energy, I suddenly have had to, I danced for the whole day yesterday because I didn't know what else to do with myself. And this morning I've just been running because I have to burn it off. And so over the next 2 days, I'm going to absolutely crash, remain horizontal and do absolutely jack shit. But in terms of my actual body, I feel... okay, a bit jittery on a steroid high.
What's my body saying? I'm in recovery from flu, and it actually threw me for a bit of a loop. So when I try to describe chemo to anybody, the thing I always try and describe it as is, imagine a flu compared with like a really bad calm down, and like merge them. So like you're a bit jittery, you're aching, you just feel really sweaty and just a bit like out of it the whole time and really flawed, fatigued.
That's me right now, mate.
That's just Deb on her treatment. But that's what I describe chemo as. And when I got actual flu, gave me a little bit of PTSD.
I bet.
I was really, really freaked out. I was crying. I was having panicky because I was convinced something was really wrong with me.
Yeah.
Because when you're in chemo, if you spike a temperature or something like that happens, you have to go straight to hospital. So I was taking my temperature. There was absolutely no need. Like, it doesn't matter because I just take painkillers and it will reduce them.
You're a regular person.
I'm a regular sick.
Yeah.
But it just made me feel weird. And I think when I'm really tired, as most people, I get quite emotional. Mm. So for the past few days, although I'm feeling a lot better, I'm still quite flawed.
Yeah.
Which makes me quite emotional. So this morning I was at a breakfast and the Kingdom Choir, who performed at...
Yeah.
Who performed at the Royal Wedding. At the Royal Wedding. Performed.
No.
Yeah. And please...
What kind of fancy pants breakfast were you
at? Facebook's International Women's Day. So yeah, I was sat there And I was having to dig my nails into my hand to stop the tears coming because it was an emotional bit anyway. But I think because I'm so tired, my body's just like, oh my God, everything's so emotional right now. So yeah, in terms of my body, I'm feeling okay in it. It's just a little bit run down, a little bit knackered. Yeah.
Well, you're doing all right. You're doing all right.
Well, I can't complain. I'm sat next to stage 4 cants over here.
Oh, well, yeah, that's sucking the fun out of the room. Yeah.
Oh, mate. No, my steroids are pumping fun into the room,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, that's true.
So can we go back a bit, because you're obviously in different stages of cancer, but you're both an amazing advocate for cancer, you know, not just tits and ass cancer, but all the cancers,
all of them,
head to toe, top
the
to bottom.
200 of them, over 200 different types of cancer.
Preach. That's a good cancer fact.
I know,
she's full of them. Sorry, back to the task.
No, that's all right. No, I was going to ask you, Lauren, about so you're sort of. How do you say it? You're on the other side of cancer?
I'm on the other side. I'm not allowed to say remission, I believe, until it's been like about 5 years. And I don't
you
like...
You're not for breast cancer.
No.
Is it different?
Yeah. So like when I said, am I in remission? They said we can say that after 5 years.
No. Does that not mean you're cured after 5 years? Oh, no. It's different for different cancers,
it's different
right?
for different cancers.
Okay.
I'm clear of cancer for that. I've been clear for a year.
Ned. You're Ned.
No evidence of disease.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
And we were talking before we started recording about how your relationship with your body has changed so much since your diagnosis. So can you talk about, I guess the good things that it has come from having cancer? Because I think so much is focused on what's
the negative.
Taken away.
Yeah.
What are the good things you've discovered?
About my bod.
Yes.
I think, do you know what it is? I think we're all guilty of it as society. Like, there's a lot of talk about this, like, at the moment, which I think is really positive. But just how, as women, we are made to feel about our bodies. I wasn't a big fan of it. I was always looking at it. My boobs were never big enough. Like, I've always felt that way, like, since I was younger. Like, I have a big meal and my stomach sticks out more than my tits, and I'm like, that's not a good look. And like, I jiggle too much, or I didn't feel feminine enough, or I was too skinny, or like, then I put on weight and I've got stretch marks. And I used to look in the mirror and kind of only see hashtag flaws. I don't believe in the term flaws. We'll get to that afterwards. But I used to just see those, and I probably wasn't the nicest to myself in my head, whether I said it out loud or not. I wasn't. I'd always pick apart my body. And then I think what happened was, when I got sick, first of all, the part of my body that I always used to moan about and say, oh, I don't like them, turned on me. So part of me was like, this is some cruel irony right here. you know, going through that whole process of seeing your body disintegrate, and it then stops being about your physical appearance, because you are not the person you recognise in the mirror. You lose so much of yourself, literally, physically. So, you know, and we spoke off air about when all my hair came out in the shower after my first chemo. I kept some of it, but at that moment, it felt like it had all fallen out. And then you see your skin gets so, like, puffy and white, and you just don't, you have no bone structure because of the steroids, and you don't recognize yourself. And the thing is, you start to realize more about who you are as a person internally, and actually realize that this body is a shell and it's doing amazing things, but it does not define the woman that I am. And actually, the person I am is who the person I am inside. So since being through the other side and recovery, there are lots of parts that I'm having to really confront. You know, I'm in medical menopause now, so the way I feel about my body at times, you know, having to fight those negative thoughts, because I don't feel very womanly, because all of a sudden I have a husk of a vagina, and like, you know,
it's like
what I mean?
The Sahara
and
down there.
It is, and it's like, where the fuck is my orgasm gone? Did I leave it in Primark? Did I leave it on the bus? Where is it? But rather than what I used to do is, I used to look in the mirror, and I used to pick apart different parts of my body, and I started to say to myself, "You're the only one who's noticed that." Like, I'm like, "You will be the only. No one cares. Everyone's looking at themselves, mate." Yeah. And I think from being kind of more in the public eye and being a bit more prolific on Instagram and stuff, it's so easy to judge yourself and the way you look. And you look at a picture and like, I don't like that of me. I don't like the way my nose looks in this or that or that. And I actually have to physically stop myself now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, put the picture up. No one's going to see that. no one's going to see what you're seeing. And it's almost retraining my brain. But that's only because of what I've been through.
Yeah.
Because of cancer, if I'm honest. If I hadn't have had cancer, I'd probably still like be going body pump 3 times a week. Like, I must be lean and muscly and all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's given you a new set of eyes on who you are and what you value as well.
Exactly.
In yourself.
I think what the way as a society we place value on beauty is flawed. Mm. My body is not flawed. The perception of beauty and the value we put on it is flawed. And it's just being able to sit back and go, this is my body. It's kept me alive. I have so much respect for it. And just appreciate me for the woman I am, not the way I look.
Almost. Amen.
Yeah. Preach.
Yes, that's good. Say. Yes.
That sermon was given today.
I was going to say, now what do I say?
Let us pray. This podcast is sponsored by the fabulous Booby Doo. They have the best range of sports bras. Whether you're doing a yoga class, a jog around the block, or running a marathon, they will have a bra to suit you and your boobs. I'm a big juicy G-cup and I have lots of gorgeous bras from them that keep my girls supported. Just go to boobydoo.co.uk to find your perfect bra today. That's boobydoo.co.uk. And do follow them on social media too. That's at boobydoobras.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So, Debs, I wanted to talk to you specifically, obviously, about what you're going through and how you're feeling, but also the amazing work you do on Instagram of showing, I guess, the cold, hard face of cancer, as well as looking fucking hot.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
The babe, she's got needles, all shit coming out of her, and she looks gorgeous.
But I hide behind it. So I'm quite vain. I'm very vain. I'm going to admit that.
Yeah.
But I always have been before cancer. So I, you know, I'm before cancer, I'm the person who takes a selfie in the gym with fake eyelashes on. You know, I'm probably
no judgments here, babes.
No judgments. At least I'm going to the gym. But I would say I've always enjoyed clothes and makeup. And I'm the person who in my previous cancer life, as a deputy head, I would run around the school, literally run around the school in 6-inch heels because that's what I wanted to wear. Everybody else was like, you're mad. And I'm like, but I look better like this. This is what I want to do. And my skirts were always way too short.
I bet they were like that at school as well, weren't they?
Yeah, but I had a rule. My rules were always kind of to the girls. I was like, girls, if your skirt's shorter than mine, you're in trouble.
Oh, amazing. Well, they'd have to be fucking short because Jesus Christ, Deborah, I've seen too much of you already.
I was like, you're sitting here, you can see my knickers right now.
Oh,
you?
My God. We're trying to empower people with your positivity. We're talking about your gusset.
So for me, I would say I hide behind looking good as almost a way of getting me through cancer.
That's sort of your armour,
weaponry. It's my armour, it's my weaponry. And it is like, I'm a massive believer in, you can feel like absolute crap, but if you put on, for me personally, the way I feel good is either to put on my gym gear and, you know, I do the whole like, I'm having coffee in my activewear. I'm like just chilling in my activewear. Yeah. And I would say, funny enough, like I actually feel really comfortable in my activewear. Mm. And so I'm either at that end of the scale. Or I'm at the other end of the scale, which is kind of like, I'm going to wear the shortest mini skirt and the highest heels to the chemotherapy ward because it's the only way I'm going to tackle this.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of like, I get that I'm hiding behind it, but it does make me feel better. And I can't deny that. I can't deny that when I look in the mirror, if I look awful, I feel awful.
Yeah.
And it just helps me kind of like the thing that I see back a little bit more. So I have to be really honest with you. So I always fight for the fact of people always go, oh, you don't look like you've got cancer. And then I always go, well, what the fuck does cancer look like? Because people assume that you're going to lose your hair, and I never lost my hair. Yet, touch wood, please. Yeah. Can we just
all
touch wood? Because
all
I'm just
woods.
Like, oh.
I'm hugging trees for you, Deborah.
Because what I reckon, because the thing that has happened to me, and I've been really public about this, is because of some new treatment that I've been having, I've had the most hideous skin reaction. My skin right now actually looks...
Yeah, it's good.
It looks good,
really,
right?
Lovely, yeah.
It's kind of all cleared up at the moment, but let's touch wood.
Yeah, all the
touch
wood.
That I'm just having it controlled. But I was floored. I mean, I had a grade 4 reaction, which is kind of as worse as it can get, and you have to be whipped off all these drugs and pretty much pumped full of antibiotics. But I didn't leave my house for about a week. You know, I pretty much went on lockdown, and I refused to see my mates. I was kind of literally calling out on Instagram for like, what's the best foundation? How do I cover this? What do I do? And I hated it. I looked in the mirror and I didn't see myself. And I was a total broken wreck.
You weren't good over Christmas. I remember like Deb just went from being this really, like I said, Deb's not shy. Like, it's been really flamboyant character, full of energy and like full of zest. Yeah. And it was really hard to watch because I could just see her lose a bit of that light. And it was because... because you can no longer hide the fact that you're ill to yourself.
Yeah, the thing that also shocked me is I've had a couple of major operations where I've got big scars running across my body, and I remember, you know, I never had any scars. I might have had like, I don't know, a scab that I picked off or something.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Wow. And I remember I took a photograph of my stomach like beforehand, and I used to hate my stomach, right? Oh my God, my stomach was so good. Like now, like I look at it and it's fine. Like you see my stomach, you see me naked.
Oh, all
and
the
my
time.
My stomach's fine, but I'm like, I'm quite a petite. Oh, well, I'm not that petite. I'm like a really average size 10 girl. But I've got like a good wobbly tummy. Like I'm not gonna, I'm sitting here like wobbling
she's,
it.
She's giving a good breath.
But I'm not, you know, but you would look at me in clothes and go, oh, she's got probably quite a toned body or whatever. I've got a good legs.
Yeah,
you've got great legs, Deborah.
We're all
James.
Very aware of
every
your legs,
single,
Deborah.
I swear to God, every single one of my mates are like, oh, I loved her so much. She's got great legs. I'm like, I know. Great, I'm aware
great
of this.
Legs, great ass, shit stomach. So, but it's amazing, isn't it? So, but my perception of my tummy is I'm less bothered by it now because I know that actually the scars have kept me alive.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, looking good has got you through. What else has got you both through the shit times? You are allowed to say wine.
We both know that. But there was a point after Rachel died where I think me and Deb existed on carafes of rosé.
Right.
Wasn't it every day?
If you have a carafe, it's not a bottle,
it's
right?
Not a bottle. No, it's like practically having a small cup.
But if you have three carafes, it might be like two bottles.
Now, just beforehand, because some people may not know about Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were in an amazing podcast, or you still are in a podcast, you, me and Big C, with this beautiful angel Rach.
Yeah. So Rach is a BBC Five live broadcaster who came to Deb and I because we were all individually talking about our cancer experiences on social media, and we'd found each other and supported each other. And she had this idea of a great idea of having a podcast talking about cancer the way we all talk about cancer to each other. And what we didn't expect was for it to go where it did. Like, heartbreakingly, Rachel died of breast cancer last year in September. So we're like 6 months, which is mental. Yeah.
Which we never, on paper, like, and this is where I get, like, I can't even speak about it now. But on paper, like, when we all joined, I was the one, it was
you're the risk factor.
I was the risk factor.
You're the liability.
Yeah. I shouldn't be alive. Rach should be alive.
Yeah.
And this, it goes to show that none of us know what's going to happen.
No.
And that's why we just kind of carry on. But it was hard. It is hard.
is there a sense of guilt at any time? Because I know you, even though you guys have inspired so many people, one of the, I think, one of the shittest things is when you get criticism, and that you've also had to deal with, because you've put yourself out there so publicly, you've also got, let's call them cunts, on the internet, who've actually criticised the way that you want to tell your cancer story.
Yeah, that someone accused Deb of trying to make cancer glamorous, and I was like, babes.
What?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I was like, Deb, is this glamorous outside of cancer?
Yeah.
Like, Deb's not making cancer look glamorous. Cancer's trying to make Deb not look glamorous, and she's not having it.
Yeah. I like that. I love you.
No, that is true. And, like, it really annoys me. Like, I get really defensive of you, innit? But anyone says anything to Deborah, I'm like, who are they? Where do they live? Yeah. I have watched the series You. I know how to track down someone and bury the body. I have studied that. I said that to you, didn't I?
You said that last week. You were like, you've been sent some horrible emails about eating more bloody, like, whatever, some apricot kernels.
I've actually had an email this week going, I'm trying to get hold of Deb. Can you give her this message? And I didn't forward it on to you. And it's a whole email of all the things that she should be doing. And I am that close to emailing back and going, I'm going to wipe my ass with this, but thank you. Because I'm like, don't do that. I get really defensive because I just feel like you're doing nothing wrong. You're doing everything right. You're living the life that you want to live. There's nothing you could have done to prevent your cancer. So these people can just get in the fucking sea.
Yeah.
They think they can tell you about what to do to your own body.
I think, you know, the problem is that every single person will go through their disease, their illness, whatever challenges they are facing, but they have to do it in their own way.
Yeah.
And now being in the shit, I realise you can't criticise somebody else for the way that they're dealing with their shit, because we're all going to deal with it separately.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And the way that I deal with it is by keeping myself really busy, by just throwing myself into 100 different things, and that helps me function. Mm. If somebody else wants to curl up in a ball and cry, I'm not going to criticise that. That's the right way for them. And there's no better way. So I just think people just need to stop judging. And I think, I have to say, I would say that 99% of the comments are really, really supportive. And I think for us, we're blown away by that. And we're incredibly grateful. And that gives us the fuel to carry on sharing. And, you know, we wouldn't be able to continue without that support.
It's very true. Yeah. 100% right.
Because, you know, I mean, like, the cold hard facts is it 1 in 2 people will get cancer
in their lifetime? Yeah,
exactly.
But also, there's loads of topics that people don't talk about. So for me, like, people, I talk a lot about my vagina. But
how is it? How is your vagina? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, basically, it's okay. Actually, I've got apparently a really good vagina, according to, you know, actually
according to the internet.
She's done a poll.
Twitter poll.
Tested it out with those live models.
She did an Instagram live.
Actually, I had that comment from an obstetrician.
Really?
Yeah, as he was licking at my vagina. Do you know, it was the best compliment I've ever had.
Oh, mine was the best. Mine was when I had to have a smear, and she kept trying to put the medium speculum in, and I was like, I couldn't relax. I was like, I'm not relaxing because this is uncomfortable, this is tight.
Yeah.
And this was when I first learned that there were other sizes. She went, oh, fine, I'll get the virgin size. And I was like, oh yeah, you will, baby. You get that virgin speculum out. And I was just like waiting for a round of applause. Yeah, that's right.
My tight, tiny vagina.
My tight, little, tiny vagina, newborn vagina.
Yeah, but it's not tight now because I gave you a big dildo for
you
Christmas.
You gave me a massive dildo.
For
you
Christmas.
It's great. Yeah.
That is a very nice segue because I want to talk about sex and cancer with you and about how you dealt with that. And, like, you know, you don't have to say you're still fucking Deborah, but what happens to your libido? Do you still want it? And all those sort of things.
It goes through different phases, like, absolutely. So I think when you're first diagnosed, it's the last thing you want to do.
Oh God, no.
It's just like, no way. And then for me, there's two aspects. One is the mental side and one is the physical side. So for women who maybe have had mastectomies and they've lost their breasts, maybe they feel less sexy in the bedroom. So maybe they mentally want to be there. It might be a hormone related thing. For me, because I'd had a bowel resection, basically what happens is they chop out some of your bowel and then they, well, stitch it back up. But that can actually affect the size of your vagina. So the end of your vagina can be brought down a little bit. So I wrote an article about this and I said my vagina is shorter and, well, I don't know, my boob was wonky from something, from what, another one of my things. But you know what? It was the biggest red column that I wrote. What I realised is that people actually, it's a common problem, but it's not, it's almost a kind of like what people don't want to talk to their doctors about even.
Yeah.
Because it's a kind of like, am I going to live? What treatment do I need? Am I vomiting? What kind of, you know, how can I just get through the day mentally? Like, and then you go down the 100 million like things on the list. And then at some point it might be like, oh, can I have sex? And it's probably one of the last things on people's list. And yet, actually, I feel that it can make you feel good about yourself. You have to, I have to remember, like, I'm 37. Most 37-year-olds probably have a really, you know, good sex drive. I've always had a really high sex drive. Mm. And it's funny how actually you can then, well, it's not that you lose it, but you have to remind yourself who you are.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. I have always had a really, really high sex drive.
I've always had a high sex drive.
Yeah, but I've lost it. Mine is gone.
It's
gone. And yeah, and this is the thing I'm struggling with at the minute. Like, I'm actually saying to my doctor, like, we need to fix this because I'm 33-year-old, single woman. My sexuality is a massive part of my identity. I've always been very confident. Like, I love having sex and I love having sex with myself. And, like, even recently, I'm finding it harder to climax. And I'm like, what's this about? Because I can make myself come in 30 seconds usually. So I'm like, this is...
Speedy got done.
Yeah, mate, I don't muck about. I'm a busy girl. Go get moving.
Oh, my God.
But it's because she does it 5 times a day.
It's because I waste whole afternoons. People go, were you busy today? Yeah. Were you busy today? What were you doing? I was like, I was doing some emails. And actually, no, it's like, literally, I'm like, come, and I'm like, oh, just answer something
is
on my phone.
Is that what you do between your Instagram stories?
And Don't touch your phone.
Don't touch your phone. Don't touch it, buddy. But yeah, it's a really weird thing. And the thing is, I masturbate quite a lot now because I'm trying to keep things ticking over.
We're being very mature about this. Deborah just spat out her tea.
I know. This is the woman who bought me a vibrator for Christmas.
And... Yeah, but you're like my work wife and I don't want to imagine you masturbating.
High five.
It is. My body has changed. I'm trying to kind of get back to my sexuality.
Yeah.
But it is difficult. But then every time I've had sex, there has been no problems.
Great.
So I don't know if it is a bit mental.
Look, thank you both so much for all that detail. And I think it's so refreshing and so brilliant that you talk about cancer in such an honest and, let's say, funny way. Mm. And you're allowed to be funny about it.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, is that we have these set ideas that cancer is sad.
And serious.
The cancer experience isn't what it seems, is it?
No.
We're trying to show it what it really like, because it's us, not the cancer. We are not cancer. We are us.
No, I agree. Ups and downs.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like life.
Now, before you go and, like, continue your takeover of the world, I've got a few little quick fire questions for you both, and I might actually just take it in turns if that's okay. So I'm going to ask you, lovely Deborah, what makes you feel sexy?
Oh, what besides big cock?
You can say big cock. We're big cock friendly on this podcast.
Are you? No, it's not a big cock. Well, with my short vagina, that would be
easier. I know, I might say ow.
Ow, stay away. No, what makes me feel sexy? Beautiful lingerie.
Ooh, matchy-matchies.
I'm not a matchy-matchy person, but I am open to offers. No, I love beautiful lingerie and beautiful killer heels.
At the same time, I hope.
Oh, yes, please.
Ooh la la. Yeah. Excellent. Lauren, what's your most favourite thing to put in your body? Yourself.
Me. I'm the best. To be fair, that, and also you can't be... a nice glass of blush rosé. It just relaxes me.
Oh, yeah. Nice. By the carafe, by the sound.
By the carafe. And a straw. That is me.
Ding dong. Deborah, what's your most embarrassing body moment?
Definitely like breakthrough farts. Like, because basically when you've just had half your bowel removed, you're not quite sure for a good 6 months whether it is a fart or a shit. And I've had lots of occasions where I thought it was a fart, it was a shit, and... well, you're in the shit.
Yeah. It's as glamorous as it sounds.
It is as glamorous as it sounds. As she picks up, I've had one occasion where I've had to do the like scoop and run.
Is it? So sexy, Deb.
Oh, have you ever shat yourself, Lauren?
Yes.
What was yours?
I have shat myself 3 times. Once I shat myself in the bath, and that was during chemo, so that's allowed. I coughed and it came out. And I was like, oh, and I just ran the bath and it was full of like lovely essential oils. And I was like, I have just contaminated this environment. So it was that one time. The second time is I went for a run, and again, it was in recovery, but I went for a run and I thought it was farting, and no, I shat all in my running leggings. In my house though, thank God. So I just scooped and ran to like put it away. And the third time actually was most recently, was in Thailand. I had a bit of a dicky tummy and I farted, and then about 15 minutes later, I was like, I don't feel comfortable. And I had a really nice big toweling robe that you got free at the lovely hotel we were staying at.
Oh dear.
It wasn't a lot, but it was something there, which I was just like, oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, I sharted in a lovely toweling robe. Thrice I have shat myself, thrice.
If the problem is when you have cancer, you get way too comfortable talking about
care.
This stuff.
No,
you just
don't
care.
No, this is good. This is really good. Thank you for sharing so much. The Hall of Fat Fame. Who inspires you? Who has got you through this time?
I'm going to say you.
Oh, mate.
But it's true. We've got each other through a really,
I really agree. It's been quite shit, actually, for the last 6 months has been incredible highs where we've been like celebrating amazing awards, like literally standing on stage with people that we were just like, how the fuck did we get an invite?
I watch you being very rude on Channel 4 with Adam Hills, you two.
Stand up to cancer. That was really fun. Yeah. And we're literally like blown away. We're like, how are we here? This is amazing. Loving it. And then at the same time being utterly devastated about almost the way that we've not the way that we've got there, but
well, yeah, it is
Rach
a
not
bit.
Being
yeah,
with
Rach
us,
yeah. But even like for you, through like stuff that I go through, stuff that you go through, your treatments, like we do, it feels like we're in it together.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we lift each other when it's hard.
It's shit. I agree, actually. Yeah. Like, I take a lot of comfort from working with lots. Are we just having like a love off here now?
Yeah. Okay. It's great. Lauren will have to go home and look after herself.
Oh, don't make it. I should go to
Taylor. Have you ever wanked over me?
No, mate.
Oh, my God.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't want you to wank.
Every time I open my goodie box and I get my glittery vibrator out, you got me. You do cross my mind for that split second.
Okay.
But that is not during.
Can we just make a rule? Like,
I'm never going to do it.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm never going to wank over you, Deb.
Good.
This is what's
oh my God. We're going to win awards for more awards for this podcast. Amazing. And finally, Fatspiration. What's your mantra? You two, what have you got, like a mantra or a saying, your what I like to call your fatspiration on Fat Lot of Good?
I just feel like, for me, I feel like now my saying I will say to myself is, this is not a test. So there's something I want to do, or you just got to do it. Like, you just have to do it, because this is the one shot you've got. And I think when you've been in our situation and you stare your death down the barrel, you're kind of like, I'm not wasting time. So yeah, I think this is not a test. That's cool. I say a lot to myself.
I like that. For me, it's just one step at a time. The reason is because I used to live 100 steps at a time. And I have probably a richer, you know, slightly scarier, fucking scarier life by having to live one step at a time. But it forces you to do stuff exactly like Loz says. And not be scared to just go, well, I don't know what the future holds. I might have the carpet whipped from beneath my feet. So let's roll with that. Like, you know, stop. I think people are too worried about holding on to like, oh, I've got to do this in the future and my body has to look like this in 3 years' time and I need to, you know, work out so I can do this.
But we just don't plan for a future, do we? We just do what we want at the time.
No. There's a part of me that misses a future, but then there's also part of me that it just like, it makes you do things that make you feel good today. Yeah. So you go for a run because you feel good today. You don't go for a run because you're trying to go for a run every day for a year. You know, you do it for now.
Agreed.
Absolutely wonderful. I love you both
love you too much.
We love you. Yeah. Can we just say, we love you.
Oh, I'll take that. Now, where can people find you, you wonderful ladies on the internet?
I'll let you go first, madam.
You can find me at Bell Babe, because that is... I talk a lot about shit and I dance. That's all I do.
On the Instagrams.
On Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Bam.
Boom. You can find me at girlverscancer. That's vscancer.co.uk. Yes. Also girlverscancer on Instagram. And you can find me. My personal Instagram is I am Lauren Mahn. That's M-A-H. O-N.
That's right. Which I found very difficult to say at the beginning of the podcast.
And our podcast, which is actually
Oh my
podcast.
God, yeah. We have a podcast called You, Me and the Big C. You can find it on the BBC Sounds app or at bbc.co.uk, You, Me, Big C.
You just went very radio for that.
She did very, she's so slick. And you've got a book. Should we flog that?
Oh, yeah. Can we flog that as well?
Yeah, of course you can.
I'm allowed to actually say the title.
Deborah, yes.
You're the only thing I've been on that I can say, fuck you, cancer.
Yay! Yes. Yay. Star, you
yay. Yay. So it's called Fuck You Cancer. Woo!
What a wonderful way to end the podcast. Thank you both. I've been Helen Thorne. I'm your host. Please subscribe to the podcast. The producer for this podcast was the wonderful Maddie Hickish. The music that you can hear is by the wonderful John Thorne. Yes, it's my brother. You've been a lovely audience. Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.